I'm Sarah.
Hey guys, I'm Trish.
And this is our podcast, Trying to Win, where we talk about being trial lawyers, women business owners.
It's Well-Being in the Law Week, so we're going to also talk about being
people.
Human beings.
This week, and hopefully all the time we talk about that. Yeah.
So our format, as you know, is what we do, trial format, where we do our opening statements, the meat of it, the witness examination, closing argument, try to sum everything up, and then, of course, the verdict, which is where we ask you to review, rate, go to our Facebook page, Trying to Win, and let us know what you think. Email us, right? And Sarah knows the email address now. Go ahead.
I do. It's trying to win at LincolnDurr.com.
So lawyer well-being. Well, I don't think we're well.
I know.
Well, I don't think we're well.
We're definitely
there is no such thing.
We're definitely unicorns, I feel like, a little bit. But let's talk first about why we are talking about it. First of all, because it is, they have this new thing that has come up during the course of our careers where there has become a greater focus on lawyers taking better care of themselves.
Because we're crazy.
There was a period of time, as I recall, in the 90s where there was a focus on professionalism. And I think that that was an effort in the same vein, that if you treat each other more professionally,
you'll be more well.
You may, yeah, exactly.
You'll be healthier.
Perhaps there will be somewhat less stress in your practice and those sorts of things. So we are talking about this in conjunction with the Well-Being in the Law Week, and because it's important, because if you're not well, you cannot represent your clients well.
Right.
If you can't represent your clients well, you're not going to get very much business. And if you don't have very much business, well, you're not going to be in practice for very long. So it's very important, and not just for the lawyers, but I think they've changed the name from Lawyer Well-Being Week to Well-Being in the Law Week.
Because
to accommodate for, you know, our support people.
Right.
Just as an example, we had a support person yesterday who was having a really bad day and had some tight deadlines and was really struggling with that. It's not just us who get stressed out. It's everybody around us who gets stressed out. And if we're stressed out, that affects the people around us because they can sense that in us. So all of those things are important to try and not just take good care of yourself, but make sure that you and your team are working well together and getting things done in a reasonable fashion. So that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah. So I guess the big picture here is talking about being lawyers, being trial lawyers specifically, and how we're able or not able to maintain some sort of a balance in the law and what we do in running a business, being moms, being wives, being team members, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I try not to use the word balance very much there. Because I don't ever feel
hard.
Like everything is always in balance, right?
It's not. So what do you do to maintain balance?
Oh, I don't.
If you're balanced at all.
I don't think, you know what, I used to tell people, and then someone told me this may not be the best way to approach it, but I used to tell people, because I get asked all the time at women functions that I speak at, how do you maintain balance? And I've always said balance is a state of mind, not a state of being.
Yeah.
So you have to accept that there's going to be periods of time in your life where you're working more than you can be with your family, or where you've got to be with your family more than when you're working. And you have to be able to accept that and work your way through those periods of time rather than trying to force yourself into a constant perfect balance, because there is no perfect balance. We're not metronomes.
What's that?
How about that?
What
for
is
a word?
That? That's an SAT word. If I've ever heard one. I don't know what that is.
It's the thing that keeps the
piano
players
thing,
in tune,
thing.
Yeah, or in tempo. I guess is what it is. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, a lot of people will say, you know, turn your phone off at 6 o'clock. Whatever. Everybody has their different way of maintaining whatever their definition of balance is. That's never been an option for me because I have clients that like to have emergencies at, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
Well, we work for clients who
they work shift work.
Yeah. They're, you know, in the operating room starting at 7 o'clock in the morning and they don't get out until 5 o'clock at night.
And
so
we have to work around them.
Yes.
And so it is what it is. But I think one of the critical things, especially if you're a trial lawyer, is there are times when it's very much of a roller coaster where there are times when you're less busy, less scheduled, and times when you're more scheduled. And one of the things that Lincoln Durr that we do for our attorneys that I think helps create that atmosphere is the virtual platform. so that, you know, yeah, you're never really able to focus to devote 100%. Some people do it that way, but I can't. 100% on work or 100% on family. You can take your computer. You're doing this next week, right? You're taking your computer to Hilton Head for the week. And because our virtual platform is so robust, we can work from anywhere. And it's a, I think it helps at least to provide a little bit more cultural flexibility for the people that work with us and for ourselves. So that's one kind of a quasi-balancing. Probably a psychiatrist would tell me that's not healthy, that you have to have better dividers, but that's what works for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about what I'm supposed to do. It's about what I do.
And some people would say letting your people have laptops so that they can have them with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever they are, may not be exactly healthy either.
I don't know. Would you rather have the flexibility to be able to go to Hilton Head and work with that backdrop?
Absolutely.
Or would you rather have a desktop and be bankrupt in COVID?
Right. Well, you know, it's such an interesting that it's so interesting to point that out, because we did have the virtual platform mm-hmm. already in place.
That's
when COVID
right.
hit. It was kind of amazing to see the level of stress that some of our colleagues went through at other
Absolutely.
Firms, because they didn't even have laptops for all of the lawyers in their firm. None of their paralegals had laptops.
Sarah,
their
we legal hired assistants three people didn't. During COVID.
I know.
Hired three people, two attorneys and a support person.
Yeah.
Because of that virtual platform. So what do I called it something. There was a word I can't remember what it's called. Accidental foresight. I don't know. But it really did help us a lot. And you're right. That caused a lot of stress for a lot of people because there were firms
and we didn't have that.
No.
We jumped right in. I mean, we jumped right in and started doing Zoom meetings once a week on Wednesdays over lunch with our entire team
cool,
to
actually.
Check in with people and make sure people were doing okay and that people had enough work to do or had too much work to do or how are you feeling being at home.
Was that my idea? That was pretty smart.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember whose idea. It might have been Dory's idea.
She's over there looking like it's her idea.
It's probably Dory's idea.
Totally. Yeah. Dory's. No, that was a good call. I think that was fun. And once I learned how to touch up my appearance to the max on Zoom,
no
like,
kidding.
It was a dream.
I hate that our courts use WebEx.
I know. I can't touch
There's
up my appearance.
There's no touch up appearance thing on the WebEx. So it's terrible.
We need to come up with an app that filters over the top.
Over this, yes, absolutely. Maybe there's some setting in the cameras that we don't know about that,
I don't
you
know.
Know, could just translate straight into whatever app you're using for your particular virtual appearance. But I mean, I think COVID has brought a lot of this to the forefront mm-hmm. for people too.
Mental health stuff,
yeah.
It's been really impactful on a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and we just got done. And maybe I shouldn't say this and we can edit it out if we need to, but we just got done talking to our friend Karen Lee, who does our personality assessment work with us and all of the members of our team. And I think for, you know, extroverts like me, being told that you had to stay at home was like torture.
I was in hog heaven,
torture.
I just got to say.
Exactly. So I think everybody's kind of managed it
me.
A little bit differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kept coming into the office even though there wasn't anybody there. Other people we have still aren't back to the office. So I think everybody's ideas of how to manage through this and how to take care of themselves has been different through the entire pandemic.
I think, and you hinted at this earlier in the last version we just did, or the last episode we just did, but it's interesting seeing your personality as an extrovert and a collaborator and a someone who buzzes around and talks to people and gets input and ideas, and then you take the extreme opposite, someone like me who really, not I want to say thrive because that's not it's not a positive out of a negative, but who really was able to be in my own and do what I like to do by being a little bit more isolated in my office and with my computer, where I feel like I flow a little bit more creatively and do better. But it's an interesting dynamic. And I'm wondering, like, do you feel like you really suffered mental health wise, like from your work happiness or your generalized happiness, not having more people around you in the office specifically?
So I don't think my mental health is particularly great all the time anyway, but
nobody's perfect.
Exactly. I was super, super worried about how to take care of everybody on our team. I mean, so much so that I actually did go back into therapy early last April and started working with a therapist who also happens to be an executive coach to kind of help me through the stress I was feeling about how to best manage our way through that. and how to make sure that our team was good and everything else. So I'm sure.
I thought you didn't have any empathy.
Well.
Every now and then it shows a little glimmer.
I have at least a one. I mean, come on. So I did start doing that. And I will, the other thing that I started doing last year, which I had meant to do for a very long time, but had not gotten around to it, is I signed up for this program to get a massage once a month. So I now get a massage once a month,
which really
has helped with the physical,
release the stress.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I was having a lot of just really bad shoulder tightness and jaw clenching and all of that. So that's been great to be able to have that.
I think here's one, I'm going to give you props here. I think it's cool. Cause you said this out in public many times, saying that you are actively involved in family therapy or therapy of some sort. And I think it's really cool the way you own that and talk about it, because it's been such a taboo thing to say, like, something's wrong with you. If you have to go to therapy, there's something really bad wrong. And that's just not true at all. It's like a massage for your brain.
Yeah.
It's getting it all out.
Your emotions,
and there's something
yeah.
very relaxing about it. And I think it's really cool that you own it like that, just because, like, it's just like you went to the grocery store yesterday, you know? I mean, it's you're just so outward about it. And I think it's healthy because you're not the only one. And
right,
it's nothing that people should be ashamed of or embarrassed of. It's like exercising almost.
This
you
is
know,
what
it's
I tell
good
my,
for
yeah,
you.
This is what I tell my daughters. I am the reason why you're going to need therapy when you get older.
Don't say that.
That's what I'm here for, and that's what they are there for. Use them. They're professionals. Go out and figure it out, and it's okay. You know? I mean, I encourage everybody to get therapy. I think it's phenomenal. Yeah. And I've had a lot of therapy over my lifetime, trust me.
Well, it's contributing. You talking about it in that way is contributing to the acceptance in the legal community of focusing on mental well-being. You know, we also, before the pandemic, we had that yoga once a month, which was such a bonding
which was great.
Thing. It was so cool. We have a yoga room, y'all. I'm not kidding. It's
we
the
do.
Coolest thing ever. We got extra space kind of by accident. That's a different story. But anyway, it was probably Dory's idea. There she is again.
She put the namaste on the wall.
She did put the namaste
she
on the
did.
Wall. We had a cute little room
it.
With some little fake candles in there and a television monitor. And we would go in there and do yoga with, what was that guy's name?
Shane.
He was adorable. Anyway, he would come in and do yoga. And that was not only team building, but also very relaxing. Remember that day? Was it the first day that we had the yoga class? And he came in. And I after I finished the class, I talked to a colleague on the phone about a big case. And he goes, oh my gosh, why are you so calm? I was
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, it worked. I just did yoga. And you can hear it in my voice.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is.
How therapeutic, not only therapy itself is, but also the exercise component, which is something I picked up, I guess maybe 2 years ago, because I hadn't exercised. My kids were little. I put myself last on the list, my personal self, for so many years, focusing on career, focusing on building this practice, you know, and then when I'm not doing that, because if you're a business owner and a lawyer, you have two jobs.
Yes.
Right?
Both
and
full
then,
time.
And then
you're a
and
mom
then you're
full
home.
Time.
And at first, my husband's stay-at-home dad now, which is such a relief. It's made a huge difference for me. But at the time, we both worked. And the last thing on my mind was taking an hour to go exercise. But it's something I've discovered in the last year. And I actually think I'm kind of cooler for it now.
Well,
I might have calmed down a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
That could
come with age, too. The one of the things that my therapist said, and he'll thank me for giving this to everybody so that they don't hire him so he gets paid for it, but was, you know, as a lawyer, there are things that you aren't going to be very good at, and one of them is having fun. So he gave me homework for the first couple of weeks that we started working together with each other last year, and it was, you have to do something for 30 minutes a day that's fun, and it can't be related to work.
My mind is spinning right now.
That could be to watch some
stupid,
crappy,
show.
Smarmy TV show for 30 minutes.
True crime.
Whatever.
I love that stuff.
You know, or read a great book that you love that's
podcast.
Unrelated
Listen
to the
to
law.
Listen to our podcast.
Listen to the
Oh, my
podcast.
God, how relaxing.
There you go. At 30 minutes of exercise a day. You have to do plus 30 minutes.
Fun, 30 minutes of fun plus 3 minutes, because exercise is not that fun all the time.
That's when I started negotiating with him, which he explained to me was probably not the best way to approach this. But, you know, I mean, taking the dog for a walk for me is fun. I like training him. I like working with him. I love being outside, particularly if I can get out during daylight hours and get
it's
a little sun.
It's been so pretty here lately,
you know,
too.
So we did, you know, we had that kind of conversation. So to me, that is fun. But he said, okay, that's fine. You're having fun with the dog. But if you can come back and do 30 minutes of yoga on top of that, it'll just get better for you. Now, I am not saying I am perfect at this, because I will tell you, in the last 2 months, I have definitely not been perfect at this. And my working out has fallen off because we've had a lot of crazy deadlines and stuff in the office. But it's a goal to shoot for. Yeah. And because we all also are somewhat perfectionistic, if we're practicing law, to know that you don't have to be perfect.
Well, so since we're talking about COVID, I have a question or something I want to kind of explore. I think you and I were talking on the way over here about how all of our trials got continued for 2020 and what year?
2020 and the first, it looks like the first 6 months of 2021 are gone.
So everything got continued or rescheduled. We weren't doing depositions for a long time and started until we figured out how to do them remotely. And then it was a disaster trying to figure that out. So now, you know, normally you have your cases really staggered, where the deadlines are very staggered. Well, because we've had this pause in all the cases, the ones that had been around a while before were trying to madly catch up, and the new ones were trying to also catch up. So next year, so I'm more worried about, what my point is, I'm more worried about lawyers and myself and ourselves and our firm and all of our colleagues later than it is now, because the impacts, it's just going to take a minute for the real impact to hit, because I know I have trials, a lot of them back to back, scheduled for 2021. And I'm looking at my calendar going, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pull this off. And I think we're all in the same boat.
We are all in the same boat. Every single trial lawyer that I have talked to, particularly in our kind of sub-practice area of medical malpractice defense, because those are the cases that go to trial the most frequently here, outside of criminal law. So in the civil context, the medical malpractice cases really get tried more than anything. They are all backed up.
Terrible.
I mean, it's adding scary to the stress level, right? Like, you're looking at your calendar and going, I have a trial every month from now. For me, it's July, because my May and June trials have gone away. But from July of this year until May of 2023, like, I'm scheduled out almost 2 years. It's insane.
That is so crazy. And it's just, you know, you hope that some of the cases resolve or, you know, dissipate one way or the other. But the truth is, well, maybe. I mean, that's what usually happens. But, you know, it's the one case that I say, oh, this is going to settle.
And it doesn't.
That happens to me every time I think a case. And then you think you get ready to try one and you work. And then it resolves at the last minute. So, you know, it's the uncertainty plus the back-to-back. And it's not just us. It's our, like I said, colleagues and our teams. So I'm more worried about COVID for our profession or our niche, whatever, moving forward, actually, than I have been looking backwards at this point.
Yeah.
Because hindsight's 2020, but at any rate, yeah, I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that means over the next 2 years, we need to be very focused on taking care of ourselves and taking care of our teammates and, you know, coming up with routines that work.
So what are we going to promise each other we're going to do for 2020 and 2021? Or wait, I'm sorry, 2022, oh Lord, to try to keep some sense of well-being? What are we going to commit to?
So first of all, we're going to do what we said we were going to do with Karen Lee.
Oh, yeah.
From Narrative. And we're going to get the team back together for a team building event as soon as we can.
Yeah.
We
need
still
to do
don't have everybody comfortable with getting back together. But as soon as everybody's comfortable with it, then we need to get everybody back together and do some team building within the office. Because there's been a lot of stress. And I know you've been on the road a lot these last several weeks. So you haven't been in the office. There's a lot of stress with the people coming back together, because we're not, you know, even though we wanted people to come back into the office, getting used to being back in the office and what that looks like, and, you know, different noise levels. People are talking loud.
Oh,
people
you're are, so guilty. You I, are so
well,
guilty.
Well, I know, but I've been there the whole time.
You've always talked loud,
never,
so there's nothing changed
I never
there.
Left. But yeah, so I mean, it's an adjustment for the people who've been there, and it's been relatively quiet, and now it's loud again, and they're, you know, so everybody's having to go through this kind of reentry stress on top of everything else. So we definitely need to do that, and I'm going to commit to my goal of 30 minutes of exercise a day if I can do it. I'm not going to try and be perfect.
How are you going to be accountable for that? Oh, yeah, you're not going to be trying.
I have my Peloton app.
You know what? So you're one of the few. Did you get the Peloton during COVID?
So,
or just right before? Because you
oddly
hit
enough,
it right at the right time.
Literally, we bought ourselves a Peloton for Christmas for 2019. And it arrived the second week of January 2020.
Yeah, you go lucky.
So everybody who bought one after that was hosed because they had to wait months and months to get their bikes.
Yes.
I'm not sure if the delay was as big with the treadmill, but for the bikes, it was definitely a delay. So, and I love the Peloton, and it makes it easy because it's right there. And I can just, in fact, when I get done here today, I'm going to go home and I'm going to ride the Peloton.
There you go. Do you find that releases stress?
I do. You know, I've tried meditation.
I can't do that
either. I am not good at it.
I think you have to practice.
I'm not good at it.
I think it's an, there's a thing to it. You have to, you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to meditate. 1, 2, 3, go. I don't think it works like that.
No, it's definitely a skill that you can build on. And actually, Peloton does have, and I feel like Peloton's going to have to start sponsoring our podcast.
Or
can
hire
just
us
say?
For the
because
lawsuits that they're going to have for
I'm
the treadmills.
I'm going to talk about this a lot. But they do have, they do have the, they have meditation as part of it. But I actually, my username, so people can now follow me on Peloton, is My Meditation. That's my username on Peloton.
But you can't even do it. That's false advertising.
Well, because it's the one thing that I do where I actually shut my brain off.
Okay.
And so I had it, I used to go to a spin studio before we had our Peloton. And the music is so loud and they do it in the dark and, you know, they're changing your position on the bike or the speed that you're supposed to go like every 30 seconds, 30 to 60 seconds. So you don't have a whole lot of time to get wrapped up in any kind of thought process. So when we set up our Peloton in our house, I got rid of our guest room. Of course, my daughters are like, wait a minute, like, where are people supposed to stay when they come over? I'm like, well, they're going to stay in your room because you're moving out. Like, you're old enough now. Like, it's time to go. And I close all of the blinds and I got a big TV and a huge sound bar. And I cast my Peloton up onto the TV.
Okay.
And I mean, I crank the shit out of the music. My neighbors probably hate me.
Do they hear? Oh, you don't use earbuds?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Oh,
I'd hurt my eardrums if I'd used it as loud as I play the music. And that keeps me from thinking. And for 30 to 60 minutes. Yeah, depending on the length of class that I take.
Nice.
So it's great. Yeah. But that's the only way that I've really been able to find to shut my brain off.
Well, I don't think my brain shuts off very well either. So it's hard for lawyers. I do Orange Theory. And I actually have been able to do that because I get so bored doing the same thing over and over, which is the Peloton offers that too. There's a variety there.
So many different instructors, different types of music.
Yeah. That's nice. But I like Orange Theory because they have something different every day. So I don't know what to expect and it's not, you know, nothing. And I do, I will admit, they blast the music in there and I kind of lose myself a little bit. And sometimes I think, but I try not to too much.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. So let's see. Oh, we need to go back to yoga for sure. That was great. That was great. And then it just, I don't know, it helped. It made a nice environment.
It was great. I mean, because I think people got more comfortable with each other, seeing physically, you know, that not everybody is necessarily great at yoga. Like, I suck at yoga. I am not flexible. You're putting your freaking knee behind your earlobe.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I can't even get close to
that. That's Dory.
You can do a back bend. Oh, hell no. This body's not doing a back bend.
I don't know if I could do that. I think I was just showing off.
I totally
had to take a lot of ibuprofen after I did that.
You totally did. But I think it's because I do think that particularly as the more senior people, with just because we have more experience – in the courtroom that I think our younger people get a little intimidated by. Don't talk to me like that. but now they know that there's stuff that we're not that great at either. You know what I mean? Yeah, it balances things out a little bit.
It's hard to take somebody seriously once you see them in Down Dog.
Yes, exactly. Although I always position myself so my butt is not facing any of my employees.
That's probably pretty smart. We don't want harassment claims. Not good. So the point is, I guess, what we're trying to say is that the impact on everything, physical, mental, everything of the stress and COVID has affected and impacted everybody, albeit in different ways. But we've all tried to manage it and support one another as best we can and look forward to being able to do that again in the future by adding back in the team building exercises and yoga and things like that. But it's important to take care of yourself. Put yourself first. If you don't put yourself first, well, like you said earlier, that you can't be there for your clients. So you have to take that time, that 30 minutes of fun or laughter or whatever it is, you know, and some exercise so that
you look good. What is it?
Look good, feel good, do good.
Feel good, look good, do good.
I say look good first.
And there's one of Alex Toussaint on Peloton has a very similar saying at the end of every single one of his classes.
What does he say?
It's something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, feel good, do good, be good, or something like that. So
life is good.
It's true. You know, it absolutely is.
So take care of yourself, take care of your people, take care of your family, and everything will be all right.
You hope, yeah.
Yeah, you think.
We hope.
Yeah. All right, so you do the verdict.
Yeah.
You do it.
If we would really like it if everybody would subscribe, download, listen,
review, rate,
and
we don't know
if
how
you
we're
have
doing.
Questions or want to hear us talk about something, and actually I do have somebody who's already done that for us, and I need to remind Dory about that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just got it last week. Send us an email at tryingtowin@linkander.com.
Awesome. Over and out.
Bye.